You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. An audit finds Connecticut failed to promptly investigate a wave of unpaid wage complaints. Governor Hochul faces more lawsuits related to congestion pricing. The spotted lanternfly returns to our region. Plus, there's a new exhibit to check out at Mystic Seaport. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut State Labor Department has failed to promptly investigate hundreds of complaints of unpaid wages. That's according to a state auditor's report. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
The report finds that as of May 2023, the Labor Department had received 843 complaints of unpaid wages that had not been assigned for investigation. One complaint had been left unassigned for 336 days. The auditors say the extended delays make it less likely the wages will be collected. Thomas Wydra is with the State Labor Department. He says the problem is not enough staff.
We have 21 agents and investigators, and that puts us out currently at several months, something around 8 to 10 months in terms of turnaround on assigning claims from the day they're submitted.
The department had proposed increasing the number of wage enforcement officers to 45, but the bill failed to pass in the legislature last year, and it failed again this year after lawmakers decided not to make midterm adjustments to the state's two-year budget. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul is facing two new lawsuits over her decision to indefinitely pause the state's congestion pricing plan. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
Transit advocates and environmental groups sued Hochul over her abrupt pause of the plan to charge drivers an additional $15 when they enter Manhattan below 60th Street. They say she doesn't have the authority to stop congestion pricing. The new toll revenue is earmarked for transit upgrades and for making train stations more accessible. Hochul said in a statement that the lawsuits are an attempt to, quote, weaponize the judicial system and score political points. She pulled her support for the controversial program last month, saying it would create a financial hardship for lower-income commuters. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Former Connecticut College student and sailor Maggie Shea is hoping to strike gold at her second Olympics in Paris. Shea fell in love with competitive sailing while at the school back in 2011. Jeffrey Bresnahan was her coach, and he's still the college's head of sailing.
We're pretty excited. This is her second time. You know, I think she's really striving to be on the podium this time. They had some tragedy last time. There was a late penalty that was pretty controversial that kept them out of the medal race. So her and her partner, Steph Roble, have been working really hard over the past 3 years to prepare for that.
Shea has won two bronze medals in world championship races. She'll compete in the waters of Marseille in the south of France. An exhibition at Mystic Seaport Museum explores ties between New England waterways and indigenous and African maritime history. More on that is coming up after a message from our supporter.
Local support comes from Hartford Healthcare, the only health system in the Northeast, with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group. HartfordHealthcare.org.
Wildfire smoke from fires in California will create hazy conditions across Connecticut and Long Island this evening. Health officials say while there might be some haze, there is no threat to air quality in the region. Long Island's unemployment rate continues to increase this summer, according to the Department of Labor. June unemployment rates for both Nassau and Suffolk counties were 3.3%. This is a 2% increase from June of 2023, but a 0.1% decrease from May 2024. Connecticut State Police are withdrawing from an internal affairs investigation into East Lyme Police Chief Michael Finkelstein. This comes after details of their investigation were shared with media outlets. Finkelstein is accused of domestic violence and violating a protective order. It's not known who will now lead the investigation going forward. An invasive insect called the spotted lanternfly has spread to all of Connecticut's 8 counties, but as Jenny Ahrens explains, there is some good news regarding this colorful flying pest.
When it was first detected in the state in 2018, there was a lot of concern about the insect's potential to damage crops. But Victoria Smith, Connecticut state entomologist, says that as of this summer, there have not been any reports of major crop damage in the state due to the spotted lanternfly. But Smith says grape growers do need to take steps to combat the bug.
Because these things will kill an unmanaged vineyard in 2 to 3 years.
Vineyards can do that with pesticides and ripping out the invasive plant, Tree of Heaven. Adult spotted lanternflies will die out after the first hard freeze of the year. But one insect can lay dozens of eggs, which can survive winter and be ready to hatch next spring. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Jenny Ahrens.
An exhibition at Mystic Seaport Museum explores ties between New England waterways and indigenous and African maritime history. It's notable for two reasons. These stories of the sea are presented through Native American and Black perspectives, and as Diane Orson reports, the museum's curators collaborated with the communities to correct historical injustices.
Mystic Seaport Museum was founded in Connecticut in 1929 to preserve the nation's seafaring past. It's America's largest maritime museum. You can walk through a 19th century coastal village and climb aboard a wooden whaling ship. But for decades, most Black and Indigenous maritime histories were missing.
And so what we are doing within the exhibition, Entwined Freedom, Sovereignty, and the Sea, is telling that larger story.
Curator Akia DeBarros-Gomes says Entwined calls on visitors to think about history, water, and spirituality in new ways.
Walking through the exhibition space, you get the sense that time is cyclical, not linear, and that everything cycles and has a birth, a life, a death, and a rebirth, as do our histories.
The exhibit features loaned belongings or objects from Indigenous and African communities. One display shows a set of wampum beads that were found just across the Mystic River at the site of the Pequot Massacre of 1637. The land on which Mystic Seaport stands is significant. This is Indigenous ancestral homelands. And because museums have long exhibited Native artifacts without meaningful collaboration with Indigenous communities, they've had a fraught relationship, says designer Stephen Peters. He's a member of the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe.
Our story should never be told without us. And we hold that very, very close to our heart.
He explains that museums usually follow a process.
Where you have an object, you have an artifact, and then you figure out what you're going to tell that goes along with that artifact.
But to create Entwined, he and DeBarros-Gomes turned that process around. Their goal was to build trust and shape a new narrative.
Our process is, what's the story that we want to tell? And then we'll go and find the pieces that fit in.
To be sure that story was authentic, they spent nearly 2 years meeting with local Native and Black community members.
There was a lot of healing that had to take place so that the communities became comfortable sharing within those spaces.
Before loaning any objects, community members wanted assurances that the exhibition would include not only hard history, but also stories of strength and resilience.
It had to be both African and Indigenous communities that were saying, here's the story that we want to tell.
This is not the first time Mystic Seaport has worked with outside advisors, says Elisa Engelman, the museum's director of research and scholarship.
But the first time that we've had an outside committee that was responsible for the content and really was the voice of the exhibit.
Anika Lopes was a member of the advisory committee.
just to be at a round table. And everyone at the table was Black and Indigenous. I can't describe how healing and connected that I felt.
She traces her ancestry to enslaved Africans and members of the Niantic Indian tribe.
It reminds me always of your foundation, foundation, foundation. Like, who is at the table? And who are you involving in the discussions from the very beginning is so important.
I meet up with visitor Susie Gagne, who's just seen the exhibition for the first time.
I'm appreciative of the language. Like, it was, for the most part, written in, like, we and I perspectives, written by people in the groups that it's about.
Inside the gallery, DeBarros Gomes shows me fishing decoys and displays of maritime navigational skills. There are also traditional Indigenous and African masks and spiritual figures from both sides of the Atlantic.
Yes, for the last 500 years, colonialism, slavery, and dispossession have been a major factor in our histories. But if you think about African and Indigenous Dawnland or New England maritime histories, they go back over 12,000 years.
Here, words matter. Dawnland is the Indigenous term for New England. We look at a brightly painted dugout canoe that was commissioned for Entwined. Native American and West African artists used a centuries-old technique common to both cultures.
Despite the separation of the Atlantic, dugout canoes were made in the exact same way. They were burned out with fire rather than being dug out with tools.
Then DeBarros Gomes guides me through two smaller darkened rooms. The spaces represent periods of historical interruption, slavery, and dispossession. First, we're in an attic with ship carvings and spiritual objects of enslaved Africans. Then, an Indigenous hut called a Witu, with a first edition Elliott Bible translated into the Algonquin language.
And then you walk out into this light, bright, contemporary space.
And see a large collection of art by living Native American and Black artists. There are colorful paintings, sculpture, and traditional clothing.
Art that really speaks to contemporary artists reclaiming their ancestry and their ancestral stories.
DeBarros Gomes says for too long, others told America's maritime history. Entwine, freedom, sovereignty, and the sea shifts the tide. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Diane Orson.
The exhibition Entwined, Freedom, Sovereignty, and the Sea runs at the Mystic Seaport Museum through spring 2026. For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, listen on the radio, stream online at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And whether it's news, classical music, or podcasts like this one, they're all made possible with support from our listeners. So if you like what you hear, you've been with us for a while now, please consider making a donation to our station. All the info on how to do that is there for you on our website. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your day. Have a wonderful weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.